1 Peter 3.
And if you've got the church Bibles, it's on page 1219. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats, do not be frightened. But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil.
Good morning. Thank you for the welcome this morning. It's great to be here with you. My name is Mike. Sharon did tell you that. Yeah. So I'm going to be bringing God's word to you this morning from 1 Peter chapter 3. We've heard the reading this morning. But before we do that, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this new day. Your word tells us that your mercies are new toward us every day. Thank you that we can be gathered here together as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. We share a common bond through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're thankful for that this morning. We're thankful that we've had an opportunity to bring our praise and our worship and our thanks to you. You are deserving and worthy of our praise. We thank you for your word that you've given to us, that is a shining light for us to know how to walk in a way that is pleasing unto you. And we just ask now, Heavenly Father, that you would be with us as we open up this passage. God, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would give us insight and give us understanding into this passage this morning. And we thank you for the privilege that we have to be able to read your word and to be able to study your word. We thank you for that. Heavenly Father, we pray this through your Son's name, our Lord Jesus. Amen. We live in an ever-increasing secularized society, particularly in the West. And that has brought and will continue to bring opposition against Christianity. Christians are under increasing pressure to be silent. We're led to believe that religion is a private matter and should be kept that way. That's the society, the world that we're living in, because it's becoming more and more secular. You can have religion, but keep it to yourself. And as a result, many Christians have been effectively silenced because of fear and peer pressure. But what does God's word say? Well, we've heard the reading from 1 Peter chapter 3, but I would like to quickly just read that again, if I may. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Just before we start unpicking the text, some brief context for us this morning that I think is really helpful. In the book of 1 Peter, the Apostle Peter is writing predominantly to Gentile believers who have been scattered throughout the world. And these Gentile believers are suffering. Suffering simply because they are Christians trying to live faithfully in a pagan and hostile society. They were being slandered. And this is evident from chapter 2, verses 12, 15, and 23, chapter 3, verses 9 and 16, and chapter 4, verses 4 and 14. So they were being slandered. You read the book of 1 Peter, and it's very evident that they were being reviled and slandered. In addition to slander, they were also having to cope with ostracism. And those were just some of the hardships that they were facing. So Peter was writing to people who were feeling intimidated and insecure and had good reason to do so. But yet, instead of telling them and us to keep our heads down, notice what Peter says firstly in the latter part of verse 14. Look at that with me, in the latter part of verse 14. He says, "Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened." Verse 14 is actually a quote from the book of Isaiah, chapter 8, verses 12 and 13, which in context is part of an exhortation to fear God rather than men. That's the context in Isaiah chapter 8. An exhortation to fear God rather than men. You know, I don't know about you and your witness for Christ, but often in my own, I find myself giving in to my fears. I find myself fearing man more than God. Do any of you have that same struggle? When you're witnessing for Christ, who do you have more fear for, God or man? Notice what Peter says in the first part of verse 15. He says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord." But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Jesus is Lord. He is the supreme ruler over this whole world and everything in it. There is no higher power than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is above and beyond anything and everything. And our chief goal should be only to live for Him and to please Him. We please God when we fear Him rather than man. We please God when we fear Him rather than man. Psalm 118, verse 6. "The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. The Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to His first disciples here. And He says, "Do not be afraid of those who will kill the body, who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." So Jesus' lordship is what Peter is stressing here in verse 15. It's the antidote to fear. Jesus' lordship. And what we should be, Jesus' lordship is what we should deliberately be focusing on as we engage in witness. It's a heart attitude. In your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Jesus' lordship is the antidote to fear. And what I want to do as we move through the rest is just have us observe certain things that Peter says. Firstly, in verse 15, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." The first observation here is that this is a command. This is not optional for a believer. We're commanded to always be ready to give the reason for our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter is commanding us to do that. Always be prepared to give an answer. The word "answer" there probably isn't the best translation. The ESV version, I think, translates that more accurately, uses the word "defense." Always being prepared to make a defense. The word "defense" is a translation of the Greek word "apologia," from which we derive the word "apologetics." Apologetics is the branch of theology that deals with the defense of the faith. Every Christian should be able to defend his or her faith. When someone comes to you and they've got a question, we should have that ability to be able to defend what we believe and why we believe what we believe. Always being prepared to make a defense. What a challenge that is for all of us here this morning who claim Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. What a challenge. That ability to be able to clearly explain what we believe and why we believe it. That requires you to know God's Word. We've got to study God's Word. We've got to get it into our hearts and into our minds. We've got to be able to defend it. Something else to notice. Notice here that Peter isn't talking about preaching. What Peter envisions here is a situation where someone else asks us about our Christian hope. What he's talking about here is one-to-one chats with people about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's stressing here. He's not talking about preaching. I want to ask a question of us this morning. I'll ask myself the same question. Who here doesn't find that difficult to have conversations with others about the Lord Jesus Christ? Anybody here that doesn't find that hard? I knew I wouldn't have any hands up this morning. I think it's hard for all of us. And it can be quite awkward at times, can't it? I want to recommend two books for you this morning. If you're taking notes, two really good books that are going to help you in your conversations with others about the Lord Jesus Christ. The first one is a book written by Dr. Andy Bannister, who is the director of an evangelism and training organization. And the book is called How to Talk About Jesus Without Looking Like an Idiot. And what he does in the book, his aim is to help Christians find easy, natural ways to talk with others about Jesus. That's what I find difficult at times, often. You know, to talk about Jesus, we should be talking about witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. But sometimes we find that awkward. We don't quite find the words. We feel unnatural sometimes, don't we? Really, really good book. The other one is another one called Have No Fear by John Lennox. John Lennox is a retired professor of mathematics at Oxford University and a Christian apologist. And this is an exceptional book. And what I really liked about this is its practical nature, very practical. I want to recommend those two books for you. Peter goes on, and in the latter part of verse 15, another observation for us. He talks about the importance of our character and our conduct when we are witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our character and conduct is extremely important in our witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what he says. But do this with gentleness and respect. Share a story with you. Quite a while back, we went to visit friends, unsafe friends. And Ken and myself were having a discussion, and he brought up the the issue of the reliability of the scriptures. You know, can we be confident that God's word is in fact God's word? But you know, his debate was, or his question was, but it was written by men. And we got into this discussion, and he was pushing all my buttons, the wrong buttons. And eventually we got into an argument. And on the way home, driving, my wife, she had kept very quiet. And eventually she said, She said, you know what? She said, we were in the lounge and my wife and his wife were in the kitchen. And she said, you know, you were not a good witness today at all. I was sitting in the kitchen. I could hear you guys arguing. And to compound the matter, another unbelieving family were there, and they heard us arguing. You know, what Peter's saying here is when we're witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ, our character, our conduct is so important. We need to do that gently and respectfully. I do like this quote. It says it really well. Peter did not suggest that Christians argue with lost people, but rather that we present to the unsaved an account of what we believe and why we believe it in a loving manner. The purpose is not to win an argument, but to win lost souls to Christ. Peter also speaks about our conscience. Notice there, verse 16. Keeping a clear conscience, or as the ESV or the New King James translates it, maintain a good conscience. Remember, Peter was writing to Christians who were having a hard time. They were being slandered. And you know, we, just like those Christians, may not be able to keep people from slandering us, but we can at least stop supplying them with ammunition. We may not be able to stop people from slandering us, but we can at least stop supplying them with ammunition. You know, when unbelievers know that you're a Christian, guess what? They're watching. They're watching to see if your walk actually matches your talk. They're on the lookout for that. You may not be aware of that, but they're watching. And if we are perceived to cheat, to lust, to lie, to gossip, to steal, show envy, anger, and on it goes, guess what? Our message will not be heard, but rather ridiculed. Our conduct needs to be above criticism. It's so important. Our conduct needs to be above criticism. You know, when I was preparing this message, Daniel popped into my mind in the Old Testament, because he provides us with a great illustration of someone who conducted himself in a way that was above reproach. Daniel, along with his fellow Israelites, were taken into captivity in Babylon. And while Daniel was there, he rose to prominence because of his good work ethic. He worked more efficiently and capably than all the rest, and as a result was appointed as one of King Darius's top three administrators. What this did, however, is created jealousy amongst the other government officials, who then schemed to get him into trouble. They tried to smear his character. And if you got your Bible there, turn to the book of Daniel. Let's go and see this. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4. Notice that with me. Daniel chapter 6, verse 4. At this, the chief ministers and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. But they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So they move on to plan B. Plan A doesn't work. They look into Smear's character. They can't find any dirt on Daniel. And we should be the same in our conduct. Above reproach, just like Daniel. Peter in verse 16 says, maintain a good conscience. Our conscience is That incredible built-in mechanism that God has hardwired into all of us that guides us in what is right and wrong. When we do wrong, our conscience niggles away at us until we act and deal with the sin in our lives and confess it. And when we do that, there's that wonderful promise of God's forgiveness in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. I want to ask a question this morning of you and of myself. Is your conscience clear? And let me say this. If it isn't, that is going to hamper your witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. If we've got an uneasy conscience, we're going to find it difficult to witness for Christ. It's going to hinder us. What is it in your life, in mine? What things do we need to deal with? What sin do we need to confess to the Lord? Because we need to be good witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to deal with that. Take it to the Lord. Confess it. And that wonderful promise in 1 John 1, 9, if we confess, God is faithful and He will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then lastly, in verse 17, Peter says, "For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." Peter is pointing out a few things here. Firstly, being a witness for Jesus will inevitably bring suffering. When you witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, that is going to bring suffering. It's inevitable. Because God's standards and values are different to the world's standards and values. And secondly, suffering for doing good, which is commendable before God, can sometimes be God's will for a believer. But that is better than deserved suffering for doing evil. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this passage of Scripture that puts the focus on us being witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the guidance that it gives us. And here we have a really important insight into what it takes to be an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. God, we recognize this morning. We recognize, we acknowledge our dependence on you. And we pray for your grace. We pray for your mercy. That you would help us to be effective witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that in our own strength we cannot do that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Spirit, the Spirit of God who indwells every single true believer. And God, Holy Spirit, we thank you for the help that you give us in our witness. You enable us, you empower us, you give us the words when we don't have the words. We thank you for the role that you play in our witness. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these reminders this morning through your word. And we pray these things through your Son's name, our Lord Jesus. Amen.